Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
No, I don't even know what I'm on. Welcome to Hagman. It is the Hagman Report for today, the longest night of the year. Does that mean something? I don't know. Yeah, well, to some it does. Folks, I'm Doug Hagman, host of the Hagman Report, HagmanReport.com. Two N's on Hagman, remember that. I am absolutely thrilled to be joined right now by Clay Clark, host of the Thrive Time Show. He is a guy that is out there waking up America one mind at a time, one coliseum, one stadium, one venue at a time, one city at a time. Clay Clark, the links will be in the program description box to his websites, social media, everything at HagmanReport.com. I'm not going to spare a minute or waste a minute babbling here. I want to bring Clay on right now. Clay, how are you doing, sir?
Well, brother, I'm really honored to be here with you. You've been in the fight for so long. I'm relatively new to the fight, but I have previously always been a consumer of the truth. I've been a guy who listens to my Rush Limbaugh. Maybe would listen to, Alex Jones, these sorts of things. Yep. And, discerning with my own relationship with God, asking, is what I'm hearing true? Did my own research. And then recently, in January of 2020, I, like many, so many other people, beginning in January, February of 2020, felt called to ask God, what can I do? How can I use my time, my treasure, and my talents to help save this nation? And I felt like God asked me to use the tools I had. And so I sued the mayor of Tulsa. That was not a plan previous to the COVID pandemic. I then started hosting town hall events in my building every week. Then I actually converted my church, my building into a church that is now hosted by, it's led by Pastor Leon Benjamin, called the Remnant Church, where we have church every single week. And I just will tell everybody out there today, if nothing else, I hope you're inspired by the Reawaken America Tour events, that you can make a difference and that you can waken up your friends and family. Because so many people, even a lady last night who dropped her child off to hang out at my house, this is the mother of one of the kids who's very good friends with my kids. She said, I am so glad you're doing these events without hearing Robert F. Kennedy Jr. share the truth about Dr. Fauci, without hearing Dr. David Martin expose the corruption of Fauci. I would have no idea. And so we're just trying to wake up America.
First of all, let me ask this. Where are you headed? I mean, what are your plans for your tour now? Is there anything on the immediate docket that people should, focus on, sign up for? I know the holidays are kind of in the way now, but where are you headed?
Well, our next one we're going to is January 14th and 15th in Phoenix, Arizona. It's January 14th and 15th. And we've got Lance Wallnau, the prophet, that's joined the tour. We have comedian Jim Brewer that's joined the tour. Eric Trump, President Trump's son, has joined the tour. Dr. Zelenko has joined the tour. Sean Foyt, the praise and worship leader, has joined the tour. We've got so many great patriots that have joined the tour. And Dr. Jane Ruby is going to join the tour. And the purpose of these events is we're going to expose election fraud, medical fraud, religious fraud, mainstream media fraud, and fiat currency fraud. I repeat, election fraud, mainstream media fraud. Think about this. Medical fraud, election fraud, medical fraud, mainstream media fraud, fiat currency fraud, religious fraud. And then we're going to point people back to God after we expose the Great Reset narrative, because the average person out there does not know that the models that said that 2.2 million Americans would die from COVID-19, those models are false. The PCR tests are falsely calibrated to inflate the number of COVID-19 cases. In fact, the inventor of the PCR test has said on camera, Fauci is a pathological, nefarious liar. Three, the average person doesn't know that COVID-19 is 100% treatable using budesonide, ivermectin, and hydroxychloroquine. And so when you come to these events, we're going to bring up Dr. Zelenko, who himself has treated, think about this, folks, 7,000 COVID patients with just three deaths. We just had Dr. McCullough come up and speak. We have Dr. Jim Meehan, who's treated personally. He hasn't written a book about it. He hasn't watched another doctor do it. He hasn't done a case study about another doctor. He personally has treated over 4,500 COVID patients with zero deaths. Dr. Sherwood has treated over 9,500 COVID patients with zero deaths. All of these people are on the tour, and you go, wow, I did not know that. Then these guys will explain that remdesivir, which is the CDC protocol for COVID-19, remdesivir, which is a drug patented by George Soros in China, remdesivir and midazolam, which is a breath suppressant, by the way, that those actual treatments are what's killing people. I repeat, remdesivir, which causes renal failure, and midazolam, which is a breath suppressant, the COVID-19 protocols themselves, that's what's killing people, and what's saving lives is budesonide, ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine. And we go down the rabbit trail into election fraud, medical fraud, religious fraud, fiat currency fraud, all of that during a two-day package. And you can name your price simply by going to timetofreeamerica.com. Again, that's timetofreeamerica.com.
Okay, I can't let this pass. Now, hold on one second here. Did I hear you right? George Soros patented remdesivir? Is that what you said?
Let's do it. Let's go to timetofreeamerica.com.
All right.
And we'll go there, and I'm going to click on the button that says follow the money. So I'm going to go there, and I know some of the listeners will go there right now on their phone. Some will take a minute. Some will look at it tomorrow. Some will pause it. Some will say, I wish you talked slower, which is why you can repeat the video if you need to. But if you go to timetofreeamerica.com and you click on the button that says follow the money, and you will find communists, globalists, and Nazis. Here we go. The Wuhan Institute of Virology of the China Academy of Sciences, based in the city where the outbreak is believed to have originated, said in a statement on Tuesday, it applied to patent the use of remdesivir, an antiviral drug developed by Gilead Biosciences, which is partly owned by George Soros. Another example, February 12th, 2020, a Chinese drug maker has started mass producing an experimental drug for COVID-19. Time Magazine reports, let's pull it up. This is Time Magazine. A Chinese drug maker has started mass producing an experimental drug for COVID-19. And the drug is created by Gilead Biosciences. Who owns that? George Soros, ladies and gentlemen. And by the way, remdesivir, people say remdesivir, that doesn't sound good for you. What about midazolam? What does that do? Midazolam is an actual drug that causes breath suppression. So why would you not want to take a breath suppressant when you have an upper respiratory infection? I don't know, because you don't want to die. And that is the kind of nefariousness, the nefariousness that's going on that is making it possible for Klaus Schwab's COVID-19, the Great Reset, to be implemented on America. And for anybody out there that hasn't heard this before, George Soros was interviewed, or not George Soros, but Klaus Schwab was interviewed by Charlie Rose. So Klaus Schwab, head of the World Economic Forum, was interviewed by Klaus Schwab, or was interviewed by Charlie Rose. And Klaus was asked, what is the fourth industrial revolution? You know, what is the Great Reset? And this is what Klaus Schwab said on a Charlie Rose interview. This is Klaus Schwab, head of the World Economic Forum. Listen to this audio. Here we go.
The difference of this fourth industrial revolution is it doesn't change what you are doing. It changes you. If you take a genetic editing, just as an example, it's you who are changed. Yeah. And of course, this has a big impact on your identity.
Yeah. And offers certain kinds of possibilities that have to be.
Did you hear that? He just said the difference of, he says, it's the difference of the fourth industrial revolution is it doesn't so much change what you do for a living.
Yeah, we played a video yesterday.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I didn't mean to overtalk you. We played that video yesterday. And people who saw that and heard that say, where'd that come from? And you know what? The information's out there. I love you, brother, because you're speaking the truth, and you are really putting out the truth one button at a time at timetofreeamerica.com. Folks, it'll be in the program description box at HagmanReport.com. Continue, sir. I mean, this is just mind-blowing.
Well, I will just say this. If you're out there today and you want to wake up your family and friends, okay, I made a button for you at timetofreeamerica.com. And all this is free, by the way, all this stuff. And people ask me, Doug, they say, Clay, why do you let people name their price?
Yeah.
Doug, I just got off the phone before we hopped on here. With the Stu Peters Show, a fellow colleague of the Truth Movement.
Yep.
And I was doing an interview in the Stu Peters Show. They're great people. Some of the offline conversations that were being discussed is, you know, the pricing model. Like, how does that work? And I just want everyone to know, literally, if you go to timetofreeamerica.com and you request a ticket to the Reawaken America Tour in Phoenix, January 14th and 15th or February, we're going to Ohio in February, and then because people love to go to Ohio during February, and then March we're going to sunny San Diego, and then April we're going to Oregon, and we let everyone name their price. And the only reason we do that, Doug, is that we altruistically want to get this information out, okay? And another way that I do it is I make the information free. So if you go to time2freeamerica.com and you click on the button that says 11 questions you can ask your family and friends that will wake them up. Doug, this will be the fastest mind-blowing wake-up call for America possible. So folks, if you're going to record this part or download this part, this is the part you want to download. Question one, to wake up your family, sit down during Christmas and ask them, why is Congress working on legislation called HR 666? And then have them look it up in Google and they'll go, what? And then ask them, why is Congress working on legislation called HR 6666? That's four sixes. And they might say, what? This is crazy. Can you guys pass the potatoes? Question number three, why is luciferase inside the Moderna COVID-19 patents? Folks, luciferase is the name of the actual technology in the Moderna patents. Question number four, why is the Center for Disease Control recommending Nazi-style quarantine camps called green zones? Look it up, folks. Question five, why is governmentjobs.com hiring isolation and quarantine team consultants and a vaccine strike team staff to come get you out of your home? I put a link to the job listing.
Oh, yeah.
Question number six, why did Microsoft file for a patent for a cryptocurrency that goes inside the human body with a publication number W02020060606? Sounds like a lot like a Revelation chapter 13, verses 16 through 18. And as a bonus fry, by the way, why did the United Nations just roll out a statue that is the physical embodiment of the vision that John was given on the island of Patmos, Revelation 13, 2, you know, the beast?
Oh, yeah.
Why do they roll out a statue that matches the exact description of John from the island of Patmos? Question number seven, why does Bill Gates have a spiritual advisor who admits to praying to Satan? Seems a little rough.
Mm-hmm.
It's like not really the move. What is the statistical probability of the word corona mathematically equaling 666? Look at that. Yep. C is the third letter of the alphabet. O is the 15th. R is the 18th. O is the 15th. N is the 14th. A is the first. You add it all up. The word corona is literally 666. Question number nine. What does Revelation chapter 13, 16, 18 through 18 say again? It says, and he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, that no man might buy or sell, save that he had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here's the wisdom. Let him that have understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Question number 10. Why did Klaus Schwab actually write a book? Why did Klaus Schwab write a book calling for the implementation of the Great Reset, which is called the Fourth Industrial Revolution? What? And question number 11. Why did Klaus Schwab, as we previously played on the past sound clip, why did Klaus Schwab describe for Charlie Rose? He when Charlie Rose said, what is COVID-19, the Great Reset, all about? He said, the Fourth Industrial Revolution isn't so much about changing what you do for a living as it is changing you through the genetic entity. It's you who are changed. I mean, what is that all about? It turns out, Mr. Hagman, there is good, there is evil. And once you confront the fact that Satan exists, and God does too, you got to pick a side. And that is what the Reawaken America Tour is all about. That is why Kim Clement's daughter, Donae Clement, is joining the tour. That is why Lance Wallnau, the prophet, is joining the tour. That's why Pastor Greg Locke is on the tour. That's why Pastor Mark Burns is on the tour. That's why Pastor Brian Gibson is on the tour. That is why Pastor Leon Benjamin is on the tour. That's why Pastor Craig Hagin is on the tour. That is why you are seeing the exposure of election fraud, medical fraud, religious fraud, fiat currency fraud, all at one time. We are exposing religious fraud, folks. Think about this for a second. Why did Rick Warren, you know, the pastor of Saddleback Church, the purpose-driven life, purpose-driven, you know, the book, the purpose-driven life, purpose-driven church book author guy, why is he endorsing Francis Collins and bragging about how great the World Economic Forum is? You know, the organization Klaus Schwab founded. Why is T.D. Jakes pushing the RNA modifying COVID-19 vaccines? What? Why is, I mean, think about this for a second. Why are you seeing, why did the Vatican host the transhumanism meeting of the minds? And you might say, you're just throwing out accusations. That's fair. Go to time2freeamerica.com and click on the button that says the truth about renting religious leaders. And you can see all of that and more. It's all right there, Mr. Hagman, at time2freeamerica.com.
I love it. I'll tell you what, it's up here right on my screen here. You know, I think I'm going to be joining you or joining the audience in Ohio in February. February or January?
February. I will tell you again, as your friend, I will say this. I'll make sure I get you a media pass. We won't charge anything. Yep. But I want everyone to get this idea, okay? I grew up without money, without money. And so when I, much like everybody out there, grew up, I thought the purpose was in America, you try to make money without violating the rights of others. You know, so I started a DJ entertainment company, figured out pretty, you know, how to make money pretty easily. And I thought, woo, this is going to be great. Around the age of 27, I started feeling hollow. I started feeling like, what is the purpose of all this? Like, what am I doing? My son was born blind. My wife wrote a book about my son's healing, which is mind-blowing to me and to others. The book is called Now I See. I'll pull it up here. And this little book, if you read this book, you're going to discover what a not good guy I was until Jesus healed my son and it woke me up. And from that point forward, you know, Doug, I was more awake, but I was somebody still willing to partake, work with me, folks, of the things of the world. You know, we have, if you listen to pop music today, the lyrics of the average pop song are satanic, sexual, Luciferian. They're suggestive. They're lascivious. They're gross. They're immoral, right? Most pop music. Yep. If you watch the average movie today, it's lascivious. It's immoral. It's gross. If you listen to most pastors today, it's weak. It's talking out of both sides of their mouth. It's doublespeak. And what it took for me is once I discovered that the models that said that 2.2 million Americans would die are false, the PCR tests are false, the treatments are, in fact, real, which include budesonide, ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, that the CDC actually patented the coronavirus transmissible to humans. The CDC actually made a bioweapon, and that Dr. Fauci actually funded the controversial Wuhan lab using U.S. dollars to do gain-of-function research, which involves taking a naturally occurring virus from an animal and seeking to increase the transmissibility of a pathogen. That's when I recognized I had to speak up. And all of us have to speak up, because we as Americans are right on the verge, the precipice of losing our inalienable God-given rights, because we've allowed God to be taken out of everything. And I'm not going to blame your listeners. I'm going to blame myself. And that's why you're hearing such a passion and urgency behind what we're doing at the Reawaken America Tour.
Can we win? Can we prevail in this? I see so much hand-wringing and so much, well, you know, the Bible says what we're going through. We got to go through this. Can we win?
Are you familiar with the Kim Clement prophecies?
A little bit. Enlighten
me. Let me play this for you real quick. And by the way, this enlightened me too. So I'm going to play this for everybody out there. I just want you to listen to this, and you can find it by going to time2freeamerica.com and click on the button that says the truth about the President Trump prophecies. I'm going to hit play. Folks, get yourself psychologically prepared. Here we go. Here we go. This is April 20th, 2013.
There is a man by the name of Mr. Clark, and there is also another man by the name of Donald. You are both watching me saying, could it be that God's speaking to me? Yes, he is. Somebody, just a few minutes before you came on the show, you went out and you took the American flag and you said, I'm proud of my nation. You raised it up. God said, you have been determined through your prayers to influence this nation. You're watching me. You're an influential person. The Spirit of God says, hear the word of the prophet to you as a king. I will open that door that you prayed about. And when it comes time for the election, you will be elected.
Keep going. Here we go.
There will be a
This is February 10th, 2007. February 10th, 2007. Listen to this, folks.
There will be a praying president, not a religious one. But I will fool the people, says the Lord. I will fool the people. Yes, I will. God says, the one that is chosen shall go in, and they shall say, he has hot blood. For the Spirit of God says, yes, he may have hot blood, but he will bring the walls of protection on this country in a greater way, and the economy of this country shall change rapidly, says the Lord of hosts. Listen to the word of the Lord. God says, I will put at your helm for two terms a president that will pray, but he will not be a praying president when he starts. I will put him in office, and then I will baptize him with the Holy Spirit and my power, says the Lord of hosts.
He also said that there would be a time where there would be two presidents, where America would not recognize the legitimacy of a specific president. He also said Trump would be a president for two terms. I can just say right now, we're at a time and place where the words of Kim Clement from 2007, 2013, the words of the Gospel of Revelation, the book of Revelation written about by John on the island of Patmos, or the words of Isaiah that were written, the words of Daniel, the prophets. So if you read the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 24, you read the Gospel of Mark, all of this is coming to pass. We're seeing it happen. And Hagman, I'm just telling you, I'm seeing us live out the prophecy written about in the Gospel.
So, amen.
I'm seeing it happen, and I'm telling you, it's a one part exciting. You're like, wow, they actually rolled out the Mark of the Beast statue, and it's like, woo, the Bible's real. But then part of me is saying, I don't know that I want to see that, because that means that Satan's real, and I'd have to stop watching all those, you know, weird movies like Game of the Thrones, or the give up my pop music, or stop being an idiot. And so I've just, for me personally, God has arrested me. He's grabbed me. He's wrestled with me and said, get serious, man. And that's what this Reawaken America tour is all about. And I just tell people, if you just go to timetofreeamerica.com, even, and you just say, I'm skeptical. I don't believe it. It's fine. I'm just going to go to your event in Phoenix, January 14th and 15th. I'm going to pay $4. Fine. Do it. Pay $4. Come out to this event. I promise you it will be a life-changing event for you and your family.
Amen. And you know, I've talked to many people, and I mean many people that have attended your conferences, and everyone has walked away with either A, new information or things that they had not known about it before, or B, totally psyched up and really having a direction in their life. And I think you've done a great job with your tours to date, and I'm looking forward to advancing this as well. I know you got a pop, Clay Clark, timetosaveamerica.com, timetosaveamerica.com. Clay, thank you very much for popping on and being an integral part of this platform. And I will see you down the road, brother.
Thank you so much. And I don't want to correct or interrupt you as well. People know it's timetofreeamerica.com. I think you said time to save America, but it's timetofreeamerica.com. And I mentioned that because someone told me the other day they went to a different URL that had a very different cause than ours. So it's timetofreeamerica.com. Thank you, brother.
All right, man. Thank you. All right. That was Clay Clark. Time to free America. I don't know. I was looking at the word free. I do that a lot. I can look at a word and say a different word. What's that all about? Eric the Tech, is it me? It is me, right? Okay. You know, speaking of Clay Clark, hey, Klaus Schwab, you heard that, right? Guess what? We played that yesterday. We played that. And guess who is the... guess who put that together, that video together? Well, let's have another taste of this, shall we? Can we? Since Clay was just on, the guy behind this production. Let's do it. Let's play a few minutes of this. Oh, yeah, we got to get, hang on. We got to get past the end. But by the way, homework assignment, because of the information. Look, I get new information every day. I get people that send me emails, send me tips by emails. You know, think about this. In 2014, ID 2020, this public-private partnership, ID 2020, folks, look at that. Look at the ID 2020 Alliance. Who's involved in this ID 2020 program? For example, you know, you look at what's going on in the background. For example, you see now, and I don't know how many people have seen this, but they're rolling out these rice-sized chips that go on underneath your skin, so you don't lose your COVID pass, you know, green pass or free pass or key to NYC or whatever it might be. This is coming. So look at the infrastructure behind this, and I kind of want to dig a little deeper here. In digging deeper, okay, so ID 2020, that's a thing. That's an initiative. And actually, do you know that they have a social media account? But they've been pretty quiet lately. And anytime somebody gets quiet, especially when you get people looking at them, for me, from an investigative point of view, I got to say, wait a minute. Cat got your tongue? Why so quiet? Just asking. Well, the more I dug down about this ID 2020, And, you know, there's something called the Good Health Pass. I'm not going to show any plates here or any videos right now or any pictures. I'm just going to go through this because this is what I'm looking at. This is what I'm following. ID 2020 is morphing into this Good Health Pass, which will be this digital identity for everybody, which is what Klaus Schwab, and who, by the way, who the hell is this Klaus Schwab guy? Now, look, I know who he is, but what horse did he ride in on? Did we have it? All right, watch this.
Of this first industrial revolution is it doesn't change what you are doing. It changes you. If you take a genetic editing,
right.
Just as an example, it's you who are changed. Yeah. And of course, this has a big impact on your identity.
All right. Now, folks, the link will be in the program description box at HagmanReport.com. That's what, a 90-minute film? Something like that? It goes through a whole bunch of stuff. Eric texts over there saying, stop it. Leave me alone, man. I'm busy. And thanks for bringing Clay on, by the way. And Stan Dale's coming up next. But so what's he talking about? Well, when you get his book, and of course, Clay showed you his book, you start looking at the initiatives, the infrastructure behind everything. So the more you look at the so-called pandemic, all right, let's just kind of work backwards here. In a very brief summarizing fashion. Where are we at today? Well, obviously, we are in the midst of a very infectious bioweapon. It's a bioweapon unleashed on the world. And it was created as an Anglo-Asian initiative. It was funded by the National Institute of Health, Francis Collins, by way of Anthony Fauci, into gain-of-function or bioweaponization through Ralph Baric, University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, over and kind of adding to and infusing into Echo Health Alliance, Peter Daszak, and then to the crazy Batwoman, Shi Zhengli, over there in the Wuhan Institute of Virology. Those are the wide swaths fingerprints of this crime. So you've got Fauci, Collins, Baric, and Peter Daszak. You got their fingerprints. Undeniable funding the bioweapons research. Undeniable. You can't deny this. Then you reverse engineer that. You see, okay, there were jabs. These are not vaccines. These are genetically modified, basically satanic serums. That's my view. You may not hold that same view, but that's just my view. And now you're seeing, what, 11 months? Or I don't know how many months since the rollout of these jabs. Forgive me if I got the timing wrong. Now you're seeing mutations develop. Now, the question I have for you, and think about this, are they natural mutations or was something else released? Has the genetic sequence been identified on the Omicron and compared to the original Wuhan strain, as Fauci said? I played that clip yesterday, the Wuhan strain. These are questions I have. So, when you look at this, what about the timing and who benefits? Anytime there's a crime scene is something, you've got to ask who benefits. So motive means an opportunity all the time, folks, all the time. The investigation does not change. Pretty soon you see, okay, isn't it funny? Isn't it, well, not funny, but isn't it serendipitous, shall we say, charitably, that this kind of all rolled out during an election year of a very popular populist president, President Trump, during a time when our money, the monetary supply is about ready to collapse because, you know, of the constant feeding into this beast, into the constant money printing, when you've got multiple crimes that needed to be covered up, all the way from, hey, go back to Kennedy for crying out loud. Go back to Pearl Harbor. I don't care. You go back as far as you want, but a lot of history needed to be wiped out. And bada bing, bada bang, here we are. Now, here we are today, and now you've got this, and I quote them, the pandemic of the unvaccinated, which couldn't be more wrong if you hit that with two sticks. Bottom line here, it is what we're seeing now is something totally different. It's either a rollout of a different pathogen or a different virus or an antibody dependent enhancement reaction, ADE reaction that we're seeing right now. Either way, who loses and who wins, who benefits? You can work that out in your mind. And of course, ID 2020, that initiative, Good Health Pass Collaborative coming up, partnering with numerous corporations, this public-private corporations, corporation partnership, the Commons Project, Rockefeller, IBM, Chamber of Commerce, MasterCard, some 150, roughly 125, 150 plus corporations and growing in this ID 2020 alliance and initiative. There's a lot going on, folks, and really none of it is really about your health or mine. None of it is about developing a quote vaccine end quote to keep us safe. No, it's not about health. It's about control, and it's about the jackbooted thuggery of submission. And here we are. Stand on? All right. Stan Dale from standale.com. You know what? I got to tell you, I got this. I'm not going to tell you what it was, but I got this really nice kind of a care package, Christmas gift from Stan and Holly. And it was the nicest thing because it's just what the doctor ordered. Just what I'm just going to leave it alone. Actually, it was something that my wife can, while she's recovering, my wife can enjoy as well as I can. But talk about being thoughtful. God bless that man and his wife, Holly Dale. And I just want to say thank you publicly for caring enough to care about us. So, but even more importantly, to all of you and to all of us, Stan really has this fundamental knowledge of what's taking place on a global scale, on an international scale, and even an interstellar, shall we say, universal scale, even bigger. And he also is the guy behind the EMP shields, right? EMPshield.com. And there you can use the promo code Hagman. That's right, to get money off of your purchase. If you don't have one, get one, because I have a feeling we're going to be needing it. And in addition to that, he's written Cosmic Conspiracy, a book which graces my bookshelf. I've read more than once. And Dare to Prepare by Holly Dale, and many other intellectual initiatives at standale.com, as well as a Patreon, which you can join. Always good meetings with Stan Dale on Patreon. Stan, thank you so much for your patience and kindness, and come on aboard.
Okay. there have been a lot of things happening here since we were together.
Sir.
Your house, my house, we've been seeing doctors and stuff like that. I've still got a couple of weeks of getting ready for surgery here for me too. So yeah, life is not without pain, as it were. Now, you were talking about international stuff and about COVID in your section there just before me. And if you look at slide 51, Eric, we found something that was rather disturbing. Ivermectin, we know that works to minimize the pain and discomfort from COVID if you catch it. And my partner, Tim Cardi, and his eldest son, spent a couple of weeks helping a very good friend of theirs who caught COVID, went to his home and stayed with him and helped him through the time. But the ivermectin worked for them and, you know, for Tim and his son. They caught a mild version of it, if there is such a thing. But anyway, Tim has survived that. And I've ordered and received a bunch of ivermectin tablets for the family here. And they're in slide 51. An interesting thing. Attorney Aaron Siri published a document he discovered suggesting that the U.S. Food and Drug Administration is conspiring with the United States Postal Service to block imports of ivermectin being sent to American consumers from overseas. In a tweet, Siri drew attention to a notice of FDA action letter explaining that the USPS is now legally spying on packages. If found to contain ivermectin, those packages are being detained and later destroyed if the recipient is unable to prove if the shipment is for some other use besides treating the Tony Fauci virus, COVID-19. Now, you know, we use All Day Chemist in India, and I've used them to get other medicines as well, which were difficult to find here, or so expensive they were incredible. But here they are saying that, you know, fortunately my stuff got through and didn't get stopped. But how can they do that? You know, how can they legally tell you can't receive a parcel from overseas with medicine? I mean, it's your problem if it doesn't work right and, you know, not FDA approved or something like that. But, you know, they're being big brother for us. So if you haven't got your ivermectin yet, you can try at All Day Chemist in India and hopefully get some sent to you. They've been very good at sending it out, but it's getting through customs as a problem.
Did you tell them the difficulty in paying for it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, if you go to All Day Chemist, you have to watch your email closely, because when you order something and put it in the basket, there's not a thing to check out immediately. They have to either call you back or email you to say, okay, now then put your credit card in. It took me 3 weeks to get my order paid for, which was kind of weird. But anyway, I guess it's because of a huge volume of calls that they're getting from the United States for ivermectin and other drugs that are dealing with the COVID crisis. Give you an example of how good their prices are. I need Xarelto for blood clots. I sit a lot in my job. And a month of Xarelto here at the local pharmacy is $500. And that's pricey for anybody. So if I go over there to them, it's $25 for the same amount. So give you an idea of the drug price discrepancy between here and in India there.
You know, Stan, I have to say we priced ivermectin at a local pharmacy. It was $365 for 3 milligram tablets, I think it was a 5-day dose. Or maybe it's a
$3.65?
No, $365 ivermectin. And there was a coupon there for, I think, $20 off. But wow, what a difference. Now, All Day Chemist, you're exactly right. In fact, we have, I don't know, Eric, you have that letter. This is a letter that appeared. Somebody had sent this to me. And this is, there it is right there. I don't know if you can see that on your screen, Stan, but United States Food and Drug Administration halting or stopping this package that contained ivermectin. And the reason, of course, is because the instructions were unclear about its use. That's one of like three reasons that listed. But this is an actual letter of the USPS confiscating ivermectin from overseas. There it is, right there. Unbelievable.
Dang, that's incredible. Life-saving drug, and they're going to try to kill you by doing this. Amazing.
Yep.
Amazing.
Yep. Thank you, Eric the Tech. And Stan, thanks for mentioning that, because a lot of people are in fact, you know, under the gun and, well, really against the wall with respect to the prices, my goodness. But there are ways around that. Frontline doctors, of course, and they've got their own pharmacy. But nonetheless, you can't beat the prices from the place you mentioned. So,
yeah, and with unemployment and with inflation, yeah. You know, we can't afford to pay these prices for medicine. They're just actually killing us is what they're doing.
Did you tell them about Congress? A lot of them are the ones that they have shares in those companies.
Oh,
they're pushing the backs.
Yeah, Holly said that there's a news article about a lot of the members of our Congress have shares in the drug companies, and that's why they're pushing back the Indian supply.
Man, you know, it's... But by the way, hi, Holly, and Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, my friend.
It's good to hear your voice, and it's good to thanks for dropping in. But yeah, you know, it's there should be full absolute transparency about the people going into Congress and in Congress and their relationship with drug companies and whatever they're trying to pass. Of course, you know, wouldn't it be great, Stan? You and I, we can go into a job like Congress, and with our current financial setting where we're at, and then, you know, come out multi-gazillionaires, you know, and. Dianne Feinstein comes to mind, Nancy Pelosi, of course, but hey, why name drop? Yeah, there it is.
Yeah, I know. Boy, rules for them, rules for us.
Yeah.
Well, a couple of things here. We're coming into Christmas season, obviously, Christmas Eve over the weekend, and then New Year's following. Inside 55, Eric, I found a report that is rather disturbing if you live in Ukraine or have relatives there. Intelligence leak says Russia may attack between Christmas Eve this year and New Year's Day. The D-Day exercise invasion force is lining up. Officials are warning major European war only months away. The plans involve extensive movement of 100 battalion tactical groups with an estimated 175,000 personnel, along with armor, artillery, and equipment, the official said. Now, that's Russia sitting on the edge. If you click on the picture, you can see the picture of Ukraine and where the pink circles are. Oh, can you get that up at all, Eric, or not? Show him.
Yeah, he's, well, sorry about that.
Yeah.
He was where.
Okay, those pink circles there are where the Russian troops and equipment are placed around Ukraine in the white there. Now, they're not going to be, Russia's not going to be going down there during winter, feeding all those, the troops and for nothing, just, you know, to saber rattle or whatever. There's going to be an invasion of Ukraine, and the United States is certainly not going to help because of the current clown in the White House, the traitor, the treasonous man. Anyway, look for what happens to Ukraine over the Christmas and New Year's holiday. Poor guys are going to get hit. We've got some stuff over there. America has, but
you know,
I don't know.
We're and Stan, I mean, you're much better versed in this than I am. What about NATO? No, I mean, NATO is just pretty much done, right? I mean, it's nothing.
Doesn't have any teeth without the American support, and America's not really being good, you know, in its role. No, it's there's going to be a problem, and the problem really stems from, you know, the people that occupy the White House here illegally. It's caused damage to the entire planet, to all of our allies.
Oh,
what more can you say about it? We beat it to death.
Well, we're going to be watching this very closely. And folks, I would urge you to watch this because, Stan's right. I mean, and this is a good find here on this Western Journal talking about this potential invasion. Go ahead, sir. I didn't mean to overtalk you.
That's all right. You were mentioning the EMP shield at the beginning there. We do have a sale that's continuing into Christmas from our Black Friday sale. And get your EMP shields while you can because, you know, mail deliveries are going to be kind of crowded for a while, but the sun, which I'll talk about in a minute, is really doing some extremely interesting eruptions, flares and coronal mass ejections, much quicker than we expected. And I knew this was going to be a bad sunspot cycle. It's going to be very eruptive, but it's way ahead of the thing. And we've, in the last 3 days, we've had one, two, possibly three flares, which were in the lower range from the C class up to the M class, and the X class is where you want to duck and cover. So it is happening now. So get your EMP shield there and use our codes up there. There you go. Now, I guess since I'm talking about the sun, let me go ahead and go down to slides. Eric, I'm going to go down to slides 46 through 43. Now, in slide 43, the green one down there, this is a heliographic image of the sun, which we put up every week. And this shows on the left side, the bright spots are where solar activity is moving around, being Earth directing. Now, in that picture there, zero longitude, you see that there at the bottom. Zero is when it's pointed directly at the Earth. You can see one cluster has already passed zero and moving around toward the backside on the right. On the left side, we've got worse than what we just went through coming in the next 7 to 8 days. Those bright spots indicate very active regions on the sun where magnetic flares and eruptions are occurring. And to let you see that, let me just go back over here. We've got a video in slide 45, Eric. Slide 45, if you click on that and bring up that video from the Solar Dynamic Observatory or NASA, you'll see that the sun, this is kind of in the visual light range there, you'll see flares and stuff occurring on it if you can get it to play. There we go. This is last 48 hours. And look at all those flares flashing at us here. And then on the lower left, that one that just popped way out. If it had been Earth directed, we'd have felt that one. This is hot. And these are like magnetic prominences that are flashing. They're like lightning. This is a very busy sun. And it just happened all of a sudden, which is concerning to the people that watch the sun, you know, professionally. Anyway, that's what's been happening.
Is this a normal busy or is this an abnormal busy?
It's an abnormal busy. Okay. This is abnormal busy in this stage of the sunspot cycle. You'd normally see this about midway and to three quarters of the way through the sunspot cycle. We're in the first quarter. And so this is early surprising activity. Let's see here. If you go to slide 45.
On that image, if you threw a wig on that, and it looks like Jen Psaki. But yeah, okay. Sorry, but I didn't mean to make a joke, but yeah, that's crazy. Okay.
Okay. Let's see. Let me see what they've got here. On slide, 44 on the slide, click on the text, get over to space weather. Now, this was published, this is today. Geomagnetic Storm Watch. A CME is heading for Earth right now. The storm cloud left the sun on December the 20th yesterday, propelled by an M1.9 class solar flare. I remember the classes of flares. Lower end is C, mid worry is M, X is duck and cover. Okay, so we've got an M class 1.9 flare heading our way. Now, NOAA forecasters expect a glancing blow to Earth's magnetic field on December the 23rd, possibly sparking a G-class magnetic storm on the Earth. If you scroll down the page, you'll also see some information on the comet, but you'll see the Earth-directed solar flare image there. Two bright lines. It's probably three pictures down. It was taken by a guy in France, and he was fortunate enough to be able to catch it in mid-flare to get that really astounding picture. If we go back to our show images page, the two big flares, let's see if you click on the picture slide 46, you'll see that the flares are kind of mid-equatorial region, and those are the ones we've got to look out for. The ones coming around the lower left limb are going to, if they do throw something at the Earth, it'll be a glancing blow to the southern part of the heliosphere. It's going to be southern directed rather than directly at the Earth. So that's not too bad, even though they complain about it. Last thing on the sun here, slide 48, Eric, if we can pick it up on that picture. Okay. This shows all these activities we're talking about. This is current as of early this morning. The lower right side, you can see that's below the equatorial line of the sun. So things coming from there will give us glancing blows, like the report said. But to the left of the screen there, of the sun coming our direction, those are creeping up a bit toward the equatorial regions. And from there to the middle of the screen is about 7 to 8 days. We're going to start seeing more activity moving up toward the equator. So it's a very good time to get your EMP shield. And if that weren't enough, with Ukraine being attacked soon by Russia, Russia-U.S. relations are in the toilet. And if Russia and China decide now is the time to attack America with the EMP bombs and with nuclear bombs over cities, it's a time for you to be prepared to go off grid. If you've got backup supplies of energy like solar panels and wind and even generators, it's a time to get your EMP shields on that so that you can supply power for yourself and in an emergency share some of that power with your neighbors to help reconstruct your neighborhood. It's getting serious, folks. The two main threats to us are solar EMPs from coronal mass ejections, which are long lasting, hours long, and are very powerful, cause fires along power lines and all kinds of stuff. And in houses, if the pulse gets through, if you don't have an EMP shield. So,
can you now? This is the folks, obviously, want to orient you to the day, date, and time here. This is the evening of December 21st. Stan, do you have an expedited shipping? I mean, if people wanted to get this for their loved one for Christmas or for their family for Christmas.
We might be able to do that. I doubt it, but we do have some made in reserves. It's not a matter of tooling them up. Let me just check something here. I'll give you a phone number if you want to order the thing and then expedite it. You'll need to go to the factory here and ring 620-412-9978 and see if they can oblige you. Normally, we pay the shipping for you and do, you know, standard UPS type delivery. But if you want to do that, it'd have to be a special deal between you and our factory shipping area. And I don't know from day to day, you know, what priority things they can do. However, it might be possible. So give that number a ring, 620-412-9978, and ask for shipping to see if they can help you with that.
All right. And if not, folks, just put a little note in your husband's, father, or whoever's stocking and just say it's on its way. So you'll thank them later. That's for sure. EMPShield.com, folks. That's the place to go for this. And look, just as we need to, very quickly, as we need to make sure our bodies are healthy and the immune system strong for all of our health concerns, we certainly need to make sure our equipment is shored up. And this is one way to do it. And I can't thank Stan and his company enough for really creating this device. So thank you for that, sir.
You're welcome. Let's look at slide 56 now. Some problems there in the Middle East to address. Iran is helping Syria develop a nuclear reactor. I don't know where exactly it is. Obviously, not going to be broadcasting. I'm sure that Israeli intelligence knows. But with Iran encouraging and helping Bashar Assad, the leader of Syria, with him helping him setting up a nuclear facility to make nuclear bombs in Syria, it means that Israel is going to be forced to attack that site. Now, if it is in Damascus, which is the way these turkeys do, they put it in populated areas. If it is in Damascus, it again underscores the prophecy about Damascus becoming a ruinous heap overnight, either due to the fact that there's an accident at this nuclear facility and it melts down and destroys Damascus, like a Chernobyl type event, or due to Israeli preemptive attack on it, trying to blow it up and it creates a nuclear explosion. I don't think that the Israelis would actually nuke Damascus, but they might destroy the nuclear facility, which could trigger, you know, a detonation of a nuclear device there that they're building. Either way, they're asking for trouble there in Syria. They really are. This is going to fulfill prophecy with a bang, so to speak.
Yes, sir. Yeah, and I've long contended that, you know, this world war is going to really occur, and the ignition point is going to be in Syria. And I believe in the Damascus prophecy at any rate. But, watch that, folks.
Okay. Back in Iran, a couple of things there, slides 57 and 54, Erica. 57, the former head of Israel's military intelligence has confirmed that Israel played a part in the military assassination of Qasem Soleimani near Baghdad last year. Now, for them to admit that, you know, the Israelis, it means that the Iranians already knew this, that Israel helped the United States to blow up Qasem Soleimani. Now, that's going to put increased tension in the Middle East for Iran to strike Israel as well. The slide 54 underneath that is again in Iran, and the replacement for Qasem Soleimani is Brigadier General, what's his name here, Shikarchi. Anyway, he says, we will not back off from annihilation of Israel, even one millimeter. We want to destroy Zionism in the world. He told the Iranian Students News Agency that the genocidal anti-Semitic remarks come just days before the nuclear talks and are set to restart in Vienna today. So in other words, the attempt, you know, at the in Vienna to calm Iran down, to back it off of its nuclear ambitions. Before that, they're saying, we're going to go to the meeting, but we're going to keep building our weapons. We're going to destroy Israel. Now, you know, if it were Mexico sitting on our border saying we're going to destroy the United States with nuclear bombs, you know, you would pay attention to that because it's, you know, it's just a stone's throw across a kind of partially made fence that, you know, they could get in and attack us. So do we attack, would we attack Mexico if they were, you know, threatening us with nuclear annihilation? This is what Israel is faced with. And their enemy is, you know, at the edge of the Golan Heights, which is just, you know, drive downhill about 3 or 4 miles and you're in Israel. This is serious and these threats have to be taken seriously. And with the intelligence that Israel has been sharing that they've obtained from the their spies, I guess, in Syria, we know that they are ready to launch a nuclear weapon. They've got the missiles and they've got the support of Iran and they got the support behind the scenes of Russia. So it's about to happen. And that is definitely going to do what you were saying, Doug. It's going to start a world conflict. Now, whether it goes to full-scale war everywhere is another issue. It may scare the heck out of everybody saying, whoa, whoa, we've seen what, you know, the atom bomb did to Japan. We don't want to see any more. And, of course, if a nuke is used by Israel to destroy an attack by the Iranians through Syria, this is going to underscore the event. And so to avoid this nuclear war, people will concede to all kinds of things to make a peace treaty with Israel and the surrounding countries so that there is not an immediate World War III. But it's still going to come. It's still going to happen. Speaking of that fence.
I want to ask you, you know, you've been around quite a while, as I have, but
yeah, that's true, boy. That's really true.
I couldn't think of a nicer way to say that, but
that didn't work.
I guess not. But you know, I was thinking about this the other day. Have you ever seen world tensions the way they are now? I mean, have you ever seen it this bad? You know, you're thinking back to, you know, when we were young, the Cuban Missile Crisis, but even then, has it ever been this bad in the world stage? Do you think?
I don't think so. World War I was pretty interesting, but it didn't have the weapons and the disease, you know, the bio bombs and stuff that we've got now. So yeah, it's the worst we've ever seen, and we're at the point of extincting human life and other life on the planet with the weapons we've got all over the world in the arsenals of the countries.
Wow.
It is bad. It is. It requires someone to step in and make peace and safety. And that's what the Antichrist is going to ride into power, is that desire for, you know, people.
Wow. Perfect, yeah, storm indeed. Bad. Okay.
Well, it is. It is. Slide 53, Eric, a potential terrorist, in quotes, with links to a number of Yemeni subjects of interest, was captured in Arizona late last week after illegally crossing the U.S.-Mexico border, the U.S. Border Patrol officials announced Monday. Now, they may not catch everybody, but they caught this one guy who is a Saudi Arabian potential terrorist. Now, and he's got Yemeni ties, which he's puzzled me because Saudi Arabia's been pounding on Yemen, you know, back and forth militarily. But this guy is a Saudi Arabian national. And, you know, Saudi Arabia, I'm pretty sure, was behind the 9/11 attack, you know, on the Twin Towers. So they caught this one, but how many more got through in the free access to the United States across the border? This is, when I'm talking about the border fence, border wall, I get irritated, really irritated, when I recall the pictures of all of the fencing that was not used because Biden stopped the construction. It's sitting out there in stacks rusting. And that just, yeah, wow. That's really irritating anyway. So we could have stopped a lot of these, but I'm afraid too late because a lot of them have gotten into the country already.
It's so almost as if they, yeah, it's almost as if they want, you know, our population, our culture to be overrun, you know?
But, oh, yeah, you reckon?
Gee, yeah, I mean, I it's almost like they're trying to destroy us from within by outsiders when the outsiders want to bring their here. But okay, yeah.
Well, years ago, decades ago, actually, I discovered that the Illuminists of the planet, you know, the enlightened controllers, they have a long range plan to make from South America up to Canada a race of tan, no white, no black, but tan. And that's what we're seeing in invading our country is you get them into the country here. There's, you know, people get married, you know, white to a tan to a Mexican or a Colombian or whatever. And eventually it breeds out this difference of skin color. And so the race of tan is well on its way to being seeded, literally, by all these people that have been across the, allowed across the border. And they're not just South American or Central American. They're from the Middle East.
Africa.
Yeah, in Africa. Yeah. They're just, they're coming in from everywhere. And it is a plan that we could see in the Club of Rome documents analyzing the problems facing the earth. And it's following exactly to their plan. Now, what's going to happen is, you know, to help this along is we're going to have a civil war here. We're going to have people finally say, I've had enough, and stand up and say to the government agencies, we're not going to do this. We're not going to wear the mask. We're not going to get the COVID shot. We're not going to follow your crazy rules, which are killing the country. And at this time, of course, we're going to be seeing a real civil uprising, not this fake one that they had in January when President Trump was finished with his speech. That was just a setup. But what is coming now is going to be real because we've been driven to the edge of extinction, really. You know, the wise people here in the United States that see what's happening and want to return to the Constitution. And slide 49 on my show image pages. Former U.S. Army generals urge the Pentagon to prepare for potential civil war. The retired veterans called on American leaders to conduct war games in order to prepare for an attempted coup against the government. Retired Major Generals Paul Eaton and Antonio Taguba and retired Brigadier General Stephen Anderson urged today's leaders to act to prevent scenes like those that unfolded during the January 6th insurrection and called on today's leaders to conduct war games in order to prepare for an attempted coup. Now, this is America. And here we are talking about, like it used to be, like the South American countries, you know, attempted coups and successful coups against the governments down there. And you read about it and think, oh, that's those crazy people down there. But it's happening here now. And this will drive us further into disruption and chaos. It will further weaken us as far as being able to defend ourselves against Russia, China, and anybody else wanting to attack us on land or, you know, by the air or by sea. But yet here they are preparing and being very vocal about it, that we're preparing to use martial law and troops to stop attempted coups. Now, what is an attempted coup? Is it going to be people that talk about the fact that we need to get rid of this government and get a legitimate government back in? If that's the case, then you and I are part of the coup movement because we're saying this needs to be corrected. It's illegal, but yet they're going to make us like, you know, a bunch of armed vigilantes and stuff.
Yeah. So it's almost as if they're preparing for 2024 and anything in between, obviously, but specifically for 2024, especially if Donald Trump would run again and then take the you know, win in 2024, the prospects of calling that an illegitimate win certainly could catapult the civil war kind of environment. So yeah, I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, man, this no matter how you take it, this is not going to end well, at least not here in the West.
Now, we're seeing the demise of the American empire that has risen up over the last 60, 70 years. You know, America's a modern Babylon. It's going to go down suddenly and completely.
Yeah.
Jeez. I'm just hoping the good Lord gets his people out of here before that time.
Oh, man, I hope so. You know, it's just, yeah, it's great. But I think we're already seeing, though, a lot of problems. You know, we're engaged in a lot of problems here with it's the trampling of our liberties, the shredding of our Constitution. It's amazing that I never really thought that we would see it come, or it would come this quickly. I mean, I guess I was looking at kind of a longer time frame, but what do I know? Obviously nothing. Thanks, Eric. Okay.
Started, it went on skids.
Yeah, Holly says it's like when it got started that it went on skids downhill.
Yeah.
Zap.
Yeah.
Yeah. look at the Roman Empire toward the end of it, when the barbarians were at the gate, the Senate was in there discussing the pros and cons of whether to pay their army or not and various other silly things. And yet the barbarians were coming through the gate, you know, and sacking Rome. That's where we are now. Yeah. Anyway, speaking of that, in slide 50, there's a picture of a statue that a guy made of the satanic god form Baphomet. And it's in a satanic temple, and they put this thing on display in Illinois and at the Capitol there. It's a holiday display, and on Monday during Christmas week, they're putting up this pagan god type demigod figure, which is just gross when you look at it. It's obviously some kind of an evil critter looking thing. And you'd never think you'd see this in America, you know, a Christian America. It's astounding how far downhill we've come spiritually as well.
Yeah, that's compliments of what the satanic temple out there. And I don't know how many people, folks, you can look at that on the screen and go to standale.com, the show images page. You'll see it there. And you can read the accompanying article. My goodness. Yeah, Stan, this really makes me sick. It really does to see this here in America. And I guess, you know, freedom of religion, right? Because, hey, Satanism, that's not illegal to practice that unless you kind of take it too far. But, okay.
Yeah, well, they call this baby Baphomet or whatever. And laid him on a little blanket, and you know, kind of like he replaces the concept of Jesus in their, you know, crazy religion. Anyway,
mocking.
You know, down in Australia, they have the Australia One Party, which is kind of, you know, pretty right wing, saying, you know, we want to be conservative, we want to get rid of all this unnecessary closure of shops and stuff, you know, lockdowns from COVID. And these guys are pushing hard enough that they may pick up arms and you'll have a civil war in Australia overthrowing the government. Now, I know for a fact that there are large cases of weapons and ammunition that the SAS, former SAS members, have buried in various places throughout the country to dig them up when it's time to supply a dad's army to overthrow invaders, like they were thinking for Indonesia or for China. But the invaders are amongst their own people now. They've been turned by philosophy. And so they're going to have to go and take them out of office. And down in Melbourne, it's really bad. And West Australia, I mean, these people, I've lived in both places. And the West Australians are like Texans used to be, or they used to be when I was there. They're very civic-minded, very faithful to God. And but in Melbourne, it's a mishmash, and the tensions in Melbourne amongst the people are very high about we want to do something. When they march in the street, when Australians march in the street, you got to know that it's really bad, because they're pretty go-lucky, she'll be right type people normally, but not so now. So keep your eye on there for their civil war to start.
You know, I'm glad you mentioned that, because I did get an email from someone who wanted me to ask you exactly that. You know, what do you see happening in Australia, especially with the quarantine camps? Of course, they look like spas, right? You know, come on in. The water's fine. Yeah. So having experienced Australia firsthand, if you do see if they have the chops to do something like, you know, an internal uprising. That was the essence of the email I got. So I asked.
The farming community there, you know, in the West and in Adelaide North in the hills and Queensland and New South Wales as well. But the farming community are the lifeblood. You know, they used to sell a lot of stuff overseas to bring income into the country. But now then they're doing it internally in the country. And you need to feed people. And these farmers need to survive. And they're practical. I mean, they're not, you know, weird people that go to weird seances and stuff like that. These are people seeing the writing on the wall in their day-to-day living and the cost of it and the threats by this crazy government. And they're not going to take it. I mean, I've worked with these people. I've, you know, in West Australia, I served on the farms there, in the ranches, and they're, you know, tough, right-minded people, and I support them. And they've been pushed far enough now, then I can see that they're going to take action here fairly shortly. Whether they'll be successful is another question. but definitely they've had enough. And when you push somebody that's pretty compliant most of the time, and you push them so hard that they're going to stand up, believe me, they're going to stand up with a fury. It's interesting, too, that the Hopi have said we're going to have a civil war here. I mean, they told Holly and I that back in 96. And here's happening, and we're almost there.
You know, if I can just, we've got about 20 minutes left. If I can just ask you this, you know, and I've asked this before, and I don't know if we can actually identify this, but what's going to be the spark? What would be the spark to ignite here in America a civil war, do you think? Because we've seen to roll over pretty much on, for everything so far. You know, what's it going to take?
Well, it might be something like an assassination on a political leader of some description, or an assassination attempt. And then, you know, a backlash of martial law by the government, the federal government. Certainly getting through Christmas is going to be problematic for a lot of people because of the cost of gasoline and food going up so high and the inflationary pressure on their incomes. Yep. The Rittenhouse boy, I mean, you know, he's kind of a poster boy for the defense of the Second Amendment. And he's brought his attention to a lot of groups that have the wherewithal to mount local insurrection against governments that are government offices and people that are doing the wrong thing and violating the Constitution. We're at a point where violation of constitutional law is going to irritate and harm people to the point that they will knee-jerk and come after those that are oppressing us. I mean, we either don't do anything and sit down and let them just steamroll us, or we stand up and say, that far and no farther. And it's like Colonel Travis of the Alamo, we're drawing the line. And so what event's going to spark it? I think a major probability is the assassination attempt on some political leader. And something like that would allow the government then to justify martial law and clamping down really hard and putting people in jail for suspected help and this kind of stuff.
Wow. Yeah. All right. Yeah, I guess I really didn't think of it from that perspective, but okay, I can see where that might come into play here. So.
Yeah. I discovered a tape or a couple of tapes, videos on YouTube over the weekend. And, you know, I can't even remember giving this lecture. It was a couple of hours, maybe 3 hours worth of lecture in Queensland. It might've been in Sydney. We did it in both places with Nexus Magazine, but, the part A and part B, or you can link to them on slide 40 and 41. And, you know, I listened to this. I got the link and I was looking at it and I started listening to what I was saying on the chalkboard about various things and propulsion and energy and, you know, writing stuff on the chalkboard. And, you know, visually it wasn't like, wow, that's a tremendous visual image or whatever. It's what I was saying. And it's not being egotistical, but I found myself sitting there listening to what I was saying and being very interested in the topic matter. And because I can't even remember doing the lecture, I mean, it's that long ago, you know, it was entertaining to me, you know, it was educational. So I thought, well, golly, I'll put this up for people to have a look at, you know, to click and have a look. If you look at slide 41, I think it is, yeah, 41 on the picture, you'll see some screen snaps I did during the video where I talk about aliens, where I talk about solar energy and the Billy Meyer UFO situation, flying saucers and stuff. And this was in May of 1992, so that tells you how long ago it was. Anyway, it's
and you look really good. I actually saw that earlier, previous to the program, and I watched it. It's folks, it's just over 2 hours, but yeah, you look good and you look, wow. the information that you had back then, I got to tell you, man, you're far ahead of your time. Wow.
Yeah. I didn't realize it. I guess that's why I was amazed at listening to myself talk back then. I'm thinking, wow, that was a bit ahead of the curve, you know? How'd you know all that stuff? But
And some of this, and I have to tell the people, folks, please go to standale.com and click on the tape, it's tape A. You'll see it there. And some of the footage there that you had and you showed, my goodness. Wow. Yeah, this will get people talking.
Yeah, I think so. So I was glad to share that with folks. Now, on another issue, over the weekend probably mid last week to the weekend, I was doing some research, as I normally do, on Saudi Arabia, scanning, every few hundred feet by every few hundred feet with Google Earth, looking for artifacts that were maybe lend to the description of Atlantis, being there. And I had to look in mountainous areas because the sand covered the lowlands, like the flood that occurred there and buried a lot of Saudi Arabia in sand, really buried it down in the empty quarter of the Rub al-Khali. And I was looking for fossilized tree trunks because I'd read about them before there. And north of Riyadh, there's a petrified forest park. And these big trees, although they're fossilized now, were probably the trees that allowed Noah to build his ark, because Noah lived in Saudi Arabia, Atlantis at the time, where all this crossbreeding and terrible stuff was happening. And so he built his ark out of wood, and it might have taken 100 years or so to do it all. But he then floated with his cargo by the prevailing water movements after the flood to, across the Mediterranean up into the hills of Turkey, in the long stretch there. I don't know which particular mountain it was on, but Ararat is a range. So anyway, that's where he got his wood. And so I was digging around, looking at those things. And in slide 42, if you look at the picture, I found something really astounding. Now, the intelligence officer in my the Teller program I was working with for, anti-gravity and various things like that, he told me about this base in Saudi Arabia and, how classified it was, how secret it was, that you would get killed if you even got close to it. And I said, well, where is that located? Well, he didn't tell me the truth. He did tell me part of it. He said it's 120 clicks from Riyadh in the Jabal Tuwaik. Well, at 120 miles from the center of this picture, where you see that 120 miles, you see that little circle. That's where that secret base was that I thought I discovered, right? And that inset there I put in there is a picture of the base that I was telling everybody, this is the secret base. And it is a secret base, but 120 miles along that white line to the upper left, to the Aba al-Aqwan area, there's a white circle. And under that white circle, I found a complex, an industrial complex, making or digging up or doing something. And then I found an area at the edge of that, which is blacked out with a rectangular square. And that, I think, is the alien base. It's across from the Jabal Tuwaik at 120 miles. And I just want to show you that. You can, that picture is, you can enlarge it by clicking on it to look at what's there. But now then, let's go over to slide 37 to an overview of that area, that white circled area. Slide 37. And this, I think, was where the real base was. If you click on it, it's expandable. You'll see right in the middle. This is in the Riyadh territory of Saudi Arabia, not Riyadh City. And so 120 clicks from Riyadh City there, that would be over, to the Jabal Tuwaik. So he was giving me part of the truth, but not all of it. And if you look at this in the upper left of that dark brown area in the center there, in the upper left, if you click on the picture, there's a little black spot there, a rectangle, which is at the top one road type accessible part of this complex. And if you look at the complex, there's been a lot of earth movements and things done there. You can see the scoring in the surface. And then if you look at that picture on the lower right side, it looks like a long road there. And it's got something that looks like stitches across the road there, going to the lower right of that.
I see that. Yeah.
Just click on the stitch it. There you go. There you go. Now, what are those? Is that a train line? Is that a road? What do these things do there? There's a water flow that might have occurred through there from the upper left down to the lower right. There, it looks like there's a water flow. But what were these things there for? And so I clicked on slide 39. If you click on that one now, this is a close-up of those things we were looking at, those stitches. So what do you make of it? Is that power, massive amounts of power generation, or what? These are mysteries.
Wow.
Isn't that incredible?
Well, okay.
What do you make of that? I mean, I've got the latitude and longitude in the right-hand corner of this, so you can get to Google Earth yourself and go look at these in the surrounding area. There are a lot of the artifacts of the keyhole formations, you know, the round circle with a wedge coming out like that, like a keyhole, all around there in the hills. And then look at slide 38. And this is a close-up of the area that I think is very classified about the alien presence. And if you click on that picture, it zooms up and you see this kind of quadrangle-shaped box, black box there. It blocks out something.
Right.
And to the right of that, you'll see one of those little keyhole formations that stretches out the thin. Then you'll see a circular thing that's a weird-looking structure. And in the hills of that, if you get onto Google Earth yourself and go over there, there are a number of these strange formations that we see elsewhere in the mountainous regions of Saudi Arabia that were from the old people, they say, the old men of the ancient days. And I think that's the Atlantean stuff. But we're looking at these things, and the keyhole formations, you know, I've talked about this. It's on my anomalies page there on the show images thing. If you go down to the middle there where it says view the Middle Eastern mysteries in Saudi Arabia and other countries, there are a lot of these artifacts in there that are this keyhole shape. And I maintain that they are a reference to the castle location of Poseidon and his wife, his human wife. And Dammam Island is that the round part of the keyhole, and the ramp that went out through three, alternating water moat, land moat, or land circle, and then another moat, that had stations on there in the middle, going all the way to the shoreline, or to the water and then to the shoreline of Atlantis. And so that became the symbol, I think, for Poseidon's rule. You know, he was the ruler that lived on that island, that circle, and the wedge shape was the pathway going out through these concentric circles of water and land to the mainland. So that's what we see all over the country that has survived in stone. And so they're remembering, that time.
Wow.
Yeah. Now, here's how much time we got?
We've got 8 minutes.
Okay. Let's go down to the middle, down to the bottom of the current information on the show images page to where it says in big yellow letters across the bar, view the Middle Eastern mysteries in Saudi Arabia and other countries. And just click on that. And I'm going to show you some things here again that are of interest. Just going down, down, down. Go to slide 15 and 16, if you can, Eric. You'll see this formation that is rather interesting, talking about people of the old days. Have you got it yet?
We're getting it here. I'm getting a, okay. Yeah. We're it's coming up here. I was getting
there. There you go.
Okay.
Okay. And that's slide 15, I think it is. Right. Okay. This is an area that in slide 14, right next to it, if you look at it in Google Earth, it's just like looks like a volcano that fizzled or something. Right. But if you click it, the picture in slide 14 before I put the red lines on, it doesn't look like a normal volcano. It's got a raised part in the middle and a ridge, circular ridge around the outside of it, slide 14 there. And as I was zooming around in 3D around this location, I found that it had a triangular shape. And I thought, well, that's weird. It looks triangular. Let me do, the contour lines and see what we see down there. And in slide 15, then, where you were originally, you can see that these things form a triangular shaped thing high in the middle, but to three points to it. And I started to wonder, is this where a craft or a nuclear facility that was triangular shaped had a meltdown? That would explain that fizzled look in the middle and, the triangular shape. And this would indicate an advanced technology. And in slide 16, you can see just another view of that, where I took cross sections of it, showing the height of it, length and width, and showing the rise in it in the terrain. So there's something there, I'm pretty sure, that was from the ancient days. And it's in an area that's mainly sandy on the southeastern coast, or inland from the coast a bit, near Qatar, but in Saudi Arabia. Again, these things have latitude and longitude on them so that you can go see these things. And it's just, so many formations are there. And I, if you scroll up the page, you can see going to, slide 55. And that one is really interesting, slide 55. If you click on that, it's the symbol of Poseidon's Island Dammam, circle at the top, and then the pathway out to the coast to go across a little canal over into Saudi Arabia. And you see the little lines drawn in the keyhole at the bottom part of those lines are the concentric circles of water and land. That's a symbol for them. And you'll find this all over Saudi Arabia in these formations. Look at the next slide over, slide 59. And you'll see a bunch of these formations that have the lines drawn across, or some of them don't have the lines, just a keyhole shape. But I'm telling you, this is relating to the sign of Poseidon, the fallen one there that bled red with a human woman, Cleito. There's another good one at slide 64 too, really sharply defined. And those of you that studied Atlantis and or see my videos know that these concentric circles were done on Poseidon's Island and all the way to the mainland. You had to cross a little narrow strait, but anyway, that was in the Platonic or Plato document. And one of the things I found interesting is the next slide over 65. This one here has two types. It has the one with the V shape going out and one with just a single line coming out from that Poseidon's Island, from Dammam, and it's enclosed in a fenced-in area. Was this, one of them was Poseidon, which was the one with the wedge, and his wife, Cleito, was the single one. It was like they put them together there to honor the both of them in some sort of a shrine, gazillions of years ago, I guess, but still. And there are graves all over the areas there in Bahrain and various places. You can see hundreds of graves that are just mounds that were placed there after the Great Flood and the destruction of Atlantis.
You piqued my attention with this. I like to look at ancient coins, and I from the ancient Greek Empire, Poseidon appears on some of the coins back before my time, obviously. But man, okay, so that really, that's something. Okay, how'd you find that?
Just going down close to the surface in 3D in Google Earth Pro system, and went way down there and just moved the page down like this, one section after another, and then move over one. And I was doing a grid search down there, square mile by square mile. And I still haven't finished the whole country, but I've learned where to look now to get to better results. And that base I found down there from, Riyadh in the county or province or something of Riyadh. That was amazing. I couldn't wait to tell you guys that. But
I love it. And folks, please go to standeo.com. We only have about a minute left, Stan. I can't believe how quickly this time has gone. But standeo.com, folks, please bookmark that page. Go there. Look at all of the images. And look at the... intellectual work products of Stan Dale and Holly Dale, of course, with Dare to Prepare, but Stan Dale, his lecture series, and oh, yes, the lecture from 1992 conference in Australia. But
man. One quick one. Sure. One quick one. Nope. People were asking me when I was going to reprint the Vindicator Scrolls, and because it had so many color, full color pages and illustrations in it, you know, at today's prices, it would cost over $140, $150 retail. So I digitized it. I scanned every page in the cover of the original one, and that's available on our shopping cart.
So beautiful.
Go and pull it down digitally now.
And what a great Christmas gift that would make. Stan and Holly, Merry Christmas. Have a wonderful Christmas.
Merry Christmas, Doug.
All right. To you.
I love yours. You, Renee and Lady.
All right. We'll love you guys back. We'll see you next week. God bless. Folks, that'll do it. Good night.